Tom Luganville wants to bust my chops because I'm late getting to him, which I always am. I'm 1 day and 8 minutes late getting to Lugie because Lugie's like the Mac daddy. You know, he's got the Mac. He's got Mac game tonight. He's in Ohio tonight for Akron and Ohio, I think. I may have just made that up. I don't even know. He joins us now. Lugie, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good, and you are right. I am in Akron, Ohio right now.
So you got the Zips hosting the old Frank Solich and the Ohio Bobcats, right?
Yeah, the Frank Solich that all he does is win games, won Nebraska's last conference title. He just wins.
Why didn't that guy ever get a shot to go back after like 3 years at Ohio when he put that program in great position and so on, and he had, you know, obviously had done well enough. His biggest problem in Nebraska was he was the guy following the guy. But why didn't he ever get a shot to get the hell out of the MAC and get back into, you know, Power 5 gig?
Well, you know, he still went 58-19 at Nebraska, but when he took the Ohio job, he was 60 years old. And, you know, you stay for a few years, and nobody's knocking on the door likely because of your age. And next thing you know, you're 73, you've been there 13 years, and you've just got nothing to prove to anybody else anymore. You know, I was talking with him the other night, and he said, listen, I just try to be the best coach that I can be, and I have no regrets. You know, he's only coached at four places his entire career, two high schools, Nebraska and Ohio, and he's 73 years old. That's a heck of an accomplishment.
That is a heck of an accomplishment, and there's something to be said for that. There's no question about it, but, you know, we're going to have so many jobs open this year, and it does, you know, I don't know when it happened that all of a sudden, you know, coaches in their 60s, it became like impossible, even maybe in their late 50s. And it's like there's this sweet spot that you've got to be in. And now with so many jobs that will be open, not only in the SEC, but around the country, including probably at Nebraska, you know, if you go over that 50 mark, all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, do we really want to hire that guy? We got to remind people, Nick Saban was 56 years old, 55 years old when he took the Alabama job.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, there are rare circumstances, you know, when Nick Saban took the Alabama job, I think how he was perceived at the college level trumped everything else. And so, you know, unfortunately, we're in an age right now where everybody wants the young, hot shot, by and large, offensive coach. I think that's unfair to a lot of good defensive coaches. I know that Mark D'Antonio, Tommy Tuberville, Nick Saban, there's a lot of guys out there that are good defensive coaches that have made good offensive hires and done just fine. And so everybody seems to want the long-term solution, but they don't realize that even if you're 35, the chances of you coaching at the same school for more than 5-7 years in this day and age is slim. So what does it matter if you're 55, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, there's a guy like out there right now, Les Miles, who I don't think is ever going to get a job. You know, again, I don't think anybody's going to take a look at Les Miles. He's 64, you know, but you could do a lot worse in terms of, you know, he seems like a young 64. He seems like a guy that could coach you anyway for some period of time. But it's almost as if the end game isn't 10 years, you can't hire a guy for 5 or 6 years. I mean, that's like a class and a half. It's got to be like a 10 to 12 year window. You got to be able to project, even though none of these guys seem to last that long.
Right. And I think that the profession has bore that out to be true. I mean, win or lose, you either become stale with a program and it's time to go. And then if you lose, they're going to get rid of you no matter how old you are or where you are. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think that people sometimes from an administrative standpoint, and so much coaching hires now are more coaching placements through search firms and agents, and instead of maybe just keeping it in-house, going out and interviewing somebody face-to-face, doing your own homework and figuring out what's best for you long-term and not worrying about all that other stuff.
Tom Luganville with us, ESPN, brought to us, of course, by Woody Anderson Ford. And, all right, Lugie, a lot of chatter coming out of Gainesville regarding vetting of Chip Kelly and so on. You know, that show cause thing is up, and Chip was not really hands-on involved in whatever it was what created that problem. I mean, we know that
right.
to be a fact. But there is a question about whether or not this guy has the stomach for going into Billy's kitchen and, you know, trying to sell a school on a kid coming there and the rubber chicken circuit and all of that kind of stuff. You had more contact with him than any of us have. Is that the case? I mean, is this guy just wants to coach ball and maybe doesn't want to mess around with the everything else that goes with being a college coach?
Well, I think there's a lot of validity to that statement. And you know what? He's never really shied away from that. He's an X's and O's guy. He wants to interact with players. He wants to coach ball. He knows he has to have good players to do it, but that's not his passion. You know, there's some, you know, Urban Meyer, his passion is player evaluation. Nick Saban, his passion is player evaluation and recruiting. That's not Chip Kelly's. Now, that's not to say that you can't get it done, because I think there's a process and a way that if that's your mindset and that's how you are, you can hire and structure your staff to perform those tasks for you and be involved as needed in those pivotal times, but it doesn't overwhelm your day-to-day. There is a way of operating within your staff and hiring a staff to do that. The question is an administration okay with hiring a head coach that maybe recruiting isn't the most important thing in his mind, and that's a decision that somebody's going to have to make.
You know, and as Tennessee begins their search, and their fans are as skittish as any in college football, that's for sure. You know, names like Memphis coach Mike Norvell or, of course, Scott Frost, who's at UCF, those names start popping up. But can Tennessee even go that route again? I mean, do they have to get somebody that's experienced at the big-time Power 5 level, or can they again go back? Because, you know, Butch Jones was very successful at Central Michigan and, you know, Cincinnati, but that ain't the SEC. Can they be in that kind of a discussion with a guy like Norvell or Frost or one of those kind of guys and keep the natives happy?
I think it's awfully risky, because that's the question. What is the expectation level of the fan base as it relates to the people that are out there that would actually be interested in the job? You know, they've gone to the G5 well twice now, and you're right, Butch Jones is very successful. He's 84-54 overall as a head coach. He's 4-2 in bowl games. But what I think Tennessee fans have got to realize is, if you think you're getting an Urban Meyer or a Nick Saban or a Jim Harbaugh or, you know, whoever it may be, they're not leaving those programs to come to Tennessee, because it's not a better job than the one that they're currently at. So where does that leave you? I think there's a few options. Number one, I think you start off by backing up the truck in State College PA, and you go offer James Franklin $8, $9 million and make him say no. That's number one. Number two, I think the second trip is to Starkville, and you see what you can do with Dan Mullen. And then this third one's interesting because there's a background to it, but if you want to win, you don't get to, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I think you got to look at Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
Because he can coach offense, he can recruit, he's done it in that conference at a place that's difficult to do it, and the guy flat out wins. So Tennessee's got to be realistic with their expectations in relationship to the options that are actually there.
Yeah, I don't think he gets James Franklin out of Pennsylvania. I mean, that's his dream job. I think his next job would be in the NFL if he goes anywhere. I do know that for a fact that he has NFL aspirations, but I don't know if he'd come back down to the South. It's interesting. Why is Jimbo Fisher's name floating around? Why are they talking about him in Texas A&M and possibly, you know, in Knoxville and places like that? I thought he got everything he wanted there at Florida State, and that's a – you know, that's one of them places where, you know, players fall off at a tree pretty easily. Why is his name being kicked around?
I just think because he's been successful, and whether the perception is accurate or not, that, you know, hasn't always maybe felt that the university was as invested in football as, let's just say, a place like Alabama or Auburn or so on and so forth. Whether that's true or not, that's the perception. So then it leads you to believe that, well, maybe if there were other opportunities where there was a commitment that was greater, that he would look to it. You know, he's won a lot of games. He's won a national championship. There's a lot to recruit there if you are another institution and you want a winner. But again, that goes right to my point with the Tennessee job. Why would he leave Florida State to go to Tennessee? Now, A&M, to some degree, I can see that one. But it'll be interesting if that job's even open. I think with what's happened the last few weeks with A&M, it's probably going to come open now.
Yeah, I would think that will happen. Does Matt Luke have any shot at all at keeping the Ole Miss job? Let's say he beats A&M this weekend. Let's say he wins the Egg Bowl. I mean, you know, if he gets them to six, you know, obviously they're not going to a bowl game. They got the band and everything else. But do you think that the powers that be at in Oxford say, you know what, he's an Ole Miss guy. I thought they'd be 3-9. He got us to 6-6. I mean, if that scenario were to happen, do they give him a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal and say, you know, guide us through the morass?
I just think that would be such a comfort hire. I'm not a big fan of comfort hires. I think that if you're going to start with a blank canvas and you know what the challenges are, you go out and get the best coach available to you. You give him a long-term contract, and you allow him to build it in his mold, and you don't worry about if there's ties to the program, if you're an alum, if you're an Ole Miss guy. You go get the best guy. To me, that may end up for them being one of these hot group of five guys. That could be a Neil Brown at Troy. It could be a Mike Norvell. You know, it could be some of these other guys that are out there doing a really, really good job. But that, you know, that job right now, and I'll say this, as bad as things have gone there, Tom, and I think you know this, they have good enough players, even with all the negativity, to go 6-6. That is not a roster that's lacking athleticism.
I'm wondering.
There are components there for whoever gets that job.
I'm wondering when somebody's going to call Bill Clark over at UAB. I mean, what that guy's done is nothing short of miraculous. I mean, 7-3, you know, with a program that was dead on the hoof. I mean, that's absolutely, I don't care what league you're in, that is absolutely, you know, nuts. All right, Tommy, enjoy the action tonight. We'll be watching. We'll be jumping back and forth. There's a couple of good basketball games. I don't know if you heard, but we'll be jumping back and forth, and we'll watch a little bit at Ohio and Akron and see what you got there. The Mac Daddy is Tom Luginbill. Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, man.
That's it. There's a little bit of basketball tonight. I don't know if you heard. I mean, if there's something that's going to make you watch some college hoop, Duke and Michigan State, I mean, Kansas and Kentucky, I mean, can you get any bluer? I mean, damn. Where's NC State and Arizona? Make it a triple header. Eesh. Now let's get a break. Come back with an update next. Tom Abraham Show, fast-moving first hour right here on 730-1039. Yep.